Evening, everyone. My name's Gordon, and I want to start with a kind of a quick poll about Christmas food. I'm going to ask you a couple of foods. You can tell me which category it fits into for you. You like it, you don't like it, it's okay. First one, candy canes. Who likes candy canes? Not many. Okay. Who doesn't like candy canes? Yeah, I'm with you. Who could take them all there? Who could take them or leave them? Yeah, okay, there's a few. All right, try this one. Roast turkey. Okay, who likes turkey? Yes. Who doesn't like turkey? I grew up having to eat it at Christmas. Never did it for me. Who is in the middle? Yeah, okay, there's turkey. Now, last one. Christmas pud. All right. Who likes Christmas pud? Yeah, all right. Who doesn't like Christmas pud? Okay, you got some work to do. Who's in the middle? Yeah, you could work on it as well. What's not to like about Christmas pudding? Look, lots of things, not just food at Christmas, but lots of things in life fit into one of those three categories. You know, you like it, you don't like it, somewhere in the middle. But there are things, and usually it's the things that are important in life. The in-between section's not there. It's either you're going to say yes, you're going to say no. It's too important to have anything kind of in-between. And there is nothing more important than what we think of Jesus. Now, for all the different opinions that people might have on Jesus, there's really only two responses to him. And we see them both in that reading that we just had and the Nativity play passage from Matthew chapter 2. So I want to spend the next few minutes looking at that part of the Bible. Now, the first thing that we need to see is, who is Jesus that we should respond to him anyway? And the answer to that question is that he is the ruler who shepherds. Let me read to you again from Matthew 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." Now, Magi were foreigners. They probably came from Babylon, way over in the east, away from Jerusalem. They were astrologers, and they probably dabbled in sorcery. Those are things that had been banned by God in the Jewish scriptures. So they were rank outsiders. Somehow their study of the stars and their knowledge of the Jews had led them to realize that a special king had been born. And so they came to the capital asking questions about where he might be so they could honor him. Verse 3 starts. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed. Now, King Herod the Great, he actually was the reigning king of the Jews at that time. He'd been made king by the Roman Senate about 40 years earlier. He was 33 at the time. But he hears about this one who these people are saying has been born king of the Jews. And so he gets his religious leaders together to ask them not about a king of the Jews, but about the Messiah. Now, that's the technical term that the Old Testament uses for a special chosen king of God who would one day come, and then he would rule over God's kingdom forever. Now, the leaders tell Herod that this king is prophesied to be born in Bethlehem. And this is where we see what kind of king he'll be and why it's so important for us to respond to him. See, in verse 6, and this is the prophecy, "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." This king, this ruler, will shepherd God's people. Now, what do shepherds do? Well, you could ask, What do sheep need? Just imagine for a moment that you owned 50 sheep and you're about to take a holiday for a couple of months, and so you advertise to have someone come and look after your sheep while you're gone. You get three applicants. The first applicant is a butcher from Lamb and Mutton Emporium. The second one is a tanner from, sheepskin and Ugg Boots or Us. And the third one is a local farmer who says he's got loads of green grass in his paddocks that he just wants to get under control. Now, who are you going to ask? If you're one of those sheep, who do you want? What do sheep need? Now, we can become very negative in our views of kings and rulers because, well, we would know from history what some of them have done, usually serving their own interests. But God says this king will shepherd his people. How will he do that? Well, there's a clue, and it was back in Matthew chapter 1, where we read that he would be called Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. The people that he'll shepherd, he'll save. And by the end of Matthew's gospel, we'll learn that he'll do that by dying in their place. He will take their place under God's judgment so that they could be forgiven and live in peace as God's people. Now, the Magi may not have understood all of that, but they knew enough to want to come and see and to honour this king, this one born king. And so it's the Magi who show us the first way to respond to Jesus. So I'm going to talk about the Magi response. Herod tells the Magi to go to Bethlehem. The star that they had first seen goes ahead of them. They're overjoyed. It leads them right to the place where finally they get to see the king and they respond. So this is verse 11. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They bow. Now, just for a moment, try to put out of your head all these kind of scenes, where the Christmas cards we've seen, the nativity displays that we've come across, and our general familiarity with the whole setup. Just try to put those things out of your head and think about it for a moment. These foreigners who have come from far away have come to a house, not a palace. It is in a small village, not in the capital. And these people in the house, they are nobodies. No one is here from Jerusalem, least of all Herod the Great. In fact, just to give you the scale, the distance from Bethlehem to Jerusalem is about the distance from this building to Burns Beach. It's not a long distance, and yet no one from the capital is there. In fact, they've just come from the capital, and it seemed that no one there even knew that this one had been born. And despite all of that, they bow. And they gift him with their treasures. Why? The Magi acknowledge that they are meeting their superior, even though he's just a toddler. Now, Matthew records this to show us, the reader, how to respond to Jesus. We're the lesser, he's the greater. As a sheep to a shepherd, as one who accepts that they need saving and he's the one who can do it. Australians love do-it-yourself home improvements. We spend millions, perhaps billions, improving our own homes. But apparently a lot of DIY projects end in tears, with the would-be renovators needing to pay a tradie to come in, not just to do the job, but to actually fix the mess that they've made in their attempt. I read one estimate that says on average Australians spend about $4,500 on tradies to come in and fix their DIY and do the job that they needed in the first place. Now, if that was you, I suspect, or if it was me actually, I suspect the hardest thing in calling in the tradesman would be acknowledging that I wasn't up to the task and then admitting that someone else is. It's the same thing with running the world and running our own lives our own way. Now, we don't put it in these words, but we all have a go at DIY. Now, we fail, of course, because we're not God. We can't control our lives and the things that are going on around us. But our attempt to do it, it puts us out of relationship with God. We face his punishment for it, and unless we are rescued, we will be punished. If we are saved, and there needs to be one who's up to the task, well, that's different. Jesus was born king, the one who will save his people. The Magi's response was to acknowledge Jesus as king. And there's your first response. But there is an alternative response, and Herod is the champion of it. So the next point is the Herod response. Now, Herod the Great, he really was an amazing administrator. He kept the peace with the Roman occupiers, and he had many phenomenal building projects that some of are still standing today. This is Masada in the south of Israel. Now, the other thing with Herod was that he was ruthless and incredibly paranoid. He killed members of his own family, sons, one of his wives, because he was so paranoid. And he even arranged, just before he died, he knew he was dying, and he arranged for members of the Jewish nobility to be rounded up and executed all on the same day, the day that he dies, because he wanted to make sure that there would be mourning in Jerusalem the day that he dies. Well, this Herod, by Matthew chapter 2, he is very much in his old age. In fact, he'll probably die within the next year or two. And he hears about the birth of the King of the Jews. And so he finds out more information. He finds out about this Old Testament prophecy. And then he sends the Magi off to Bethlehem and tells them to come back with more information. But what's he doing with all this information? He's getting angrier. At first, he's disturbed. And then he schemes by asking the Magi to come in and give him all the information. When did this star first appear? And sends them off secretly. And finally, he's furious. God warns Joseph in a dream to take Jesus and his mother and flee. And then verse 16, we read this. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious. And he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Herod had always intended to kill this child. Why does he respond like this? It's because there can be only one who rules. When it comes to what we think of Jesus, there's only for or against. It's too important for anything in between. It's a bit like, say, the whole family is planning a drive across the country. You're going to go to the East Coast for Christmas. But you realise your brakes are dodgy, you need to get them fixed. And so you go to a local brake mechanic. And as you're going in and you're going up to talk to the mechanic, you can't help but feel that he's just not focused. He's kind of vague. And then the closer you get to him, you realise there's a strong smell of alcohol about him and in the whole workshop. And then you remember, you've seen this guy. You've seen him on a special show on A Current Affairs, Perth's Dodgiest Mechanics Exposed. Now, at that point, you've got a choice, and there's only one of two things. You're either going to ask him to fix your brakes, or you're just going to say, sorry, my mistake, and then you're going to leave. You're not going to sort of try to be polite and say, can you fix my brakes a bit? You either are going to have him or you're not going to have him work on your car. It's too important. There's too much at stake. It's the same with Jesus. Now, Herod is an extreme case. But when it comes to who rules our life, there can only be one. If it's me, it can't be Jesus. I can't kind of like him, but then not submit to his rule. He can't kind of save me, but then me not really be among his people. Now, maybe you're not one of Jesus' people, but you don't really want to line up with the Herod response. Now is the perfect time to do what the Magi did. Get more info. Ask for more. Find out more. Like tonight, you could take home a copy of Matthew's Gospel. We've got loads of copies to give away. You could read the whole account, not just half of one chapter, about Jesus. If you have a Christian friend, ask them loads of questions. Or you could even ask God. Ask God to give you more about Jesus. And this is something Jesus said in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. He said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. And many of us here tonight have already made and keep making the Magi response to Jesus. To bow, to accept his rule, and to have received his rescue. And that's why we say, as we're about to sing in the next song, with angels let us sing, Alleluia to our King, Christ our Saviour is born. Amen.